Welcome to the Sunday night. There is a solution newcomer and returning members meeting of Overeaters Anonymous. Visit our website at oaontario.org, where you'll find this audio recording, additional podcasts, and a place to donate to keep this special service active. The opinions expressed are those of individual OA members and do not represent OA as a whole. Our speaker today is a compulsive overeater and a member who has at least 6 months of abstinence, has recovered through the directions in the Big Book, and maintains recovery on a daily basis. After the share, there will be time to make a comment or ask a question about the OA program or what the speaker has shared. So tonight, please help me welcome Anne Marie from North Carolina. Welcome, Anne Marie. Are you there, Anne Marie?
There I am. There I am. I guess I was waiting to get unmuted.
Okay,
Thank
great.
you
Thank
so
you.
much. Thank you. My name is Anne Marie M., and I am a recovered compulsive overeater through God's grace and by working the steps in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. And I say that because I never knew the information in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous would be able to help me get abstinent. And what it really did, following the directions in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous, was to help me get a strong relationship with God. I had a relationship with God, but it was like a one-way street. And I was just talking to someone today about my relationship with God, and she was asking how, you know, she kind of was wondering how to get one, and that God really wasn't doing for her, you know, what she wanted him to do. And I know this was God coming out of me. I said, well, what are you doing for God? And she said, I can't remember how it went, but I said, a relationship is a two-way street. And even with God, and most importantly with God, I should say, I need to do for him and he will do for me. I need to be turning my will over to him. I need to be going to him for help. I need to be helping other people because I really believe that's what God's will is for me. And that was my final answer. My final answer was a relationship with God. I started compulsively overeating. I remember my first compulsively overeating was when I was about 8 years old, going in the cupboard, sneaking in the cupboard to get cookies. And I was feeling uneasy that day. I was feeling lonely. And I remembered I just wanted something to eat for some reason. And I went and I snuck and got some cookies. And I ate them. I don't remember what they tasted like, but I remember how I felt. I felt calm. I felt good. I felt comfort. And I've been chasing that feeling ever since. So I went back and I got more. And I rearranged the package of cookies so that it looked like, you know, the sleeve was still full. And I just remember feeling shameful for doing that. Fast forward to my teenage years, I found alcohol. And I figured that instead of alcohol gave me a lot of confidence, it didn't give me the comfort that I so desired. And so I continued compulsively eating and drinking. And my drinking career was short, from 15 to the age of 26. So it was 11 years of drinking. But my primary addiction is compulsively eating and certain food, certain food ingredients. So I was in AA, got an AA in 1985 and got sober, but I still had the food to help me give me that comfort. And I got confidence in AA. I got involved in the meetings. I did service work. Yeah, I didn't have that comfort, and I found that comfort could only come from God. So, in 1988, about 3 years after I was in AA, someone mentioned that a woman had, she said that woman over there lost over 100 pounds. And I thought, oh my gosh, how did she do it? And they said OA. And I said, what is OA? And she said, Overeaters Anonymous. So I said, well, that's where I need to go. I need to lose weight. And so I'll go to Overeaters Anonymous. And I went into the meeting, and there wasn't, from what I know now, I didn't know what recovery looked like, but I remember there were people that were overweight and talking about food and talking about diets, and I thought that that's what OA was, because that's what I went to. But they said that sugar could be as addictive as a drug. And I thought, these people are a little bit too extreme. I think they're a little bit over the top. They were saying they gave up sugar, and I'm never ever going to eat sugar again. And I thought, well, I certainly can control it, because I've been on many diets. I became a lifetime member at the age of 16, and I knew how to eat. And I ate, some of their frozen desserts and, all the good things that they had. And, I could have so much of, they didn't have points back then, but I could have, a small piece of cake once in a while. I'd just take away the potato that day or whatever. So I just did not buy into the addiction part of the disease, the physical addiction. I knew there was something wrong with my brain, but I thought, I don't buy this addiction thing. So I was in and out for about 20 years, and I kept on going. I went to hypnosis, therapy, group therapy, outpatient for eating disorders. I did a lot of that stuff, and nothing worked. I mean, let me tell you, the diets worked for a little while, and then they didn't work anymore. So, I remember, and it was 20 years later, because it was in 2008, because we were moving back to we were moving to South Carolina. It's South Carolina that I live in. Anyway, so we moved down here. I remember it was 2008, and I went to a Barnes and Noble and got a huge bag of peanut M&Ms and went to the bookstore, and was looking in the diet section of all the books of, how to stop compulsively eating, how to diet, so I grabbed a bunch of these books, and here I am stuffing my face with these candies while I'm reading these books, thinking that nobody could see me. It's just crazy. Anyway, I read this one particular book written by a doctor and by a compulsive overeater. And he had factual proof that sugar affects the same part of the brain as cocaine, and that it is addictive. And I was like, wow, those OAs were right. So I thought, well, I'll just stop eating sugar. And I did. I was able to do that. I don't know how I did it, but I just quit the sugar. And at that point, I had to lose about 30 pounds, 25, 30 pounds. And within a couple of months, I had lost the weight. But then I started eating anything that didn't, I compulsively overate anything that didn't have sugar. So bags of carrots, rice cakes, dried aired popcorn. And, I thought, well, potato chips, doesn't have sugar in it. So I started, compulsively eating that. And the weight started coming back on. And I thought, I need to go back to OA. So I always looked at OA, Overeaters Anonymous, as a way to lose weight. So when I went back, my sponsor, I got a sponsor, and she said that I need to do 90 meetings in 90 days. And I was working full time. I had my hands full with my daughter, who is a was a handful, I should say. And I said, "This, you know, there's no way I can get to a meeting every day for 90 days." And she said, "Well, go online, and there's some phone meetings." And there's, meetings, emails. So they didn't have, well, they may have had Zoom, but there weren't any Zoom meetings that I knew of anyway. So I went online and I found this meeting called, that dealt with people that have compulsive eating problems but did not have the addiction. And I had just read the book, you know, and was convinced now that sugar was a pro going to be a problem for me. I was convinced. So I went to this meeting and they told me what I heard. I want to say what I heard was that as long as I have a good relationship with God, that I could eat anything because I can just go to God and ask God, you know, what to eat and how much to eat it, and I would be okay. And so I tried that. That was around 2009. And from then on, from 2009 to 2012, I wasn't able to stop compulsively overeating. I mean, let me say, I would get a few weeks, a few days, some months, but I couldn't stop completely. I couldn't stop for any long period of time. And I definitely was not recovered as I am today. And I can explain what that means to me. And Lynn had explained that a little bit at the beginning of the meeting. But so I went to this other meeting, which led me to a Vision for You. When a Vision for You started, I started with a Vision for You, and I had a sponsor. And just as a Vision for You was starting up, I had gotten recovered with a recovered compulsive overeater who had gone through the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous and got recovered. And so I started sponsoring people. And I, right off the bat, I got three brand new people. They could only meet in the morning because I was doing my morning prayer like was suggested, always praying, asking God, but not meditating or listening. That was really a big piece that I missed, was praying to God, not with God, praying to God, asking Him to help me, and not giving anything back to God. So, I kind of lost my train of thought. So I don't know how much time I have. I forgot to ask. I'm not timing myself.
Hi. You have 30 minutes total, and there's about 17 minutes left. I'm not sure if you can see it on the screen there.
Oh, great. Thank you. I just saw that. Yeah, thank you. That's very, very helpful.
You're
Thank
welcome.
you. I started sponsoring, and I got three people right off the bat, and they could only meet in the morning. So I thought, well, I'll put my prayer time. It wasn't meditation, so I would say prayer and meditation, but I called it prayer and meditation, but it really wasn't. So I put that aside, because I needed to help these women. They needed me, you know, because I was recovered. I had that title and thought, they really need me. And so I stopped doing my prayer meditation, and I wasn't doing 10 steps because I would be embarrassed to call someone saying that I had a problem with something or I mishandled something, because I felt like, at this point, I've been through the 12 steps. I should know how to handle everything. I shouldn't be feeling anything, you know? So I picked up eating again, compulsively eating, and I went on another binge for a few months, and I got another sponsor, and she took me through the steps again. And I got recovered probably within a year. I had gotten the oh, it's probably less than that, but anyway. And I started sponsoring again, and the same thing happened. You know, I would think that I would learn my lesson from the first time of being cocky. You know, in the big book, it says, we are not cocky or afraid. I think, I know that's on page 85. You're not cocky or afraid, but I was cocky. And so, thinking I got this. And so, anyway, in 2015, I picked up, and from 2015 to 2020, I just compulsively overate. I had the it was worse than it had ever been before. It just getting worse and worse. I was going to say worser and worser, but it kept getting worse. So I kept getting so many calls out for sponsors. I had tremendous sponsors. I had the best of the best, and they were all very helpful to me. But I couldn't, I wasn't willing, I really wasn't willing to turn my will and my life over to care of God. And so in 2020, in October of 2020, I had a friend who suggested that I go do this meeting. It was a workshop by two women, and they studied the big book, and I went on. And now, you know, several years sober, I know the big book in and out because I've been through it. I have five big books because several of my sponsors told me, okay, we're going to start all over, get a clean big book, and we'll start with the clean big book. So I would go out and get a clean big book. Believe me, I was very obedient, a very obedient sponsee. If someone told me to stand on my head for in the corner for an hour every day, I would do it. If someone said eat cardboard 3 times a day, I would do it. I was just do whatever. I really, really, really wanted to get abstinent. I wanted to stay abstinent because I was able to get abstinent. I got abstinent lots of times. I couldn't stay abstinent. And so I went, it was in October, and I listened to the meeting, and I thought, I don't need to hear this. I know the big book because they were teaching the big book. And so I left, and the compulsive eating got worse and worse. And I was I'm a retired nurse now, but I was putting stuff in my pockets and going into rooms where there were any patients and stuffing myself. And it just got worse and worse. So I said, my friend kept on telling me about this workshop. So I went back, and I felt defeated. I was defeated. The compulsive overeating defeated me, and I was willing to do whatever. And so I called someone, and she couldn't sponsor me, but she found another sponsor that would sponsor me, and she took me through the big book. She gave me disciplines, which I had never had before. And I was, you know, willing to do that. And when I got to my second step, I told her how wonderful and great my God was. I really didn't feel like you know, and I had never felt like we agnostics in the big book, which talks about, which is really the second step. I really didn't think that affected, that applied to me, because I had this relationship with God. You know, I prayed to him every morning. You know, I had this relationship with God. So I told her that I have a great relationship with God. He's a wonderful God. He's, you know, just all these wonderful things, you know. And it was a part A. That was a part A. What is your higher power like? And the part B is, if you don't have a higher power, or if he's not working for you, what do you want him to be? And so I didn't answer part B. And so when we were going over the homework, she said, why didn't you answer part B? And I said, well, I have a higher power. And she said, well, why aren't you recovered? What is he doing for you? Is he doing what you want him to do? And I sheepishly said no. And she said, well, right. And she said, well, maybe you need to get another God. And I thought, I am not getting another God. I am convicted in my religion. I have the God that I love, and I'm not giving him up. So she said, well, change. How about changing your perception of God? Change your perception and write down what you would like or what you think that you need from God. And I did that exercise, and it was very, very helpful. It was very, very strong. And I continued with the steps. And that was really my turning point. That's why I talk so much about God, because I realized that my relationship with God had to be a two-way street. It wasn't just me talking to God, or maybe even telling God what I needed. It was me doing for God what I couldn't do for myself, but it was also doing God's will. And God's will for me is to be of service no matter what. And I apologize for Jessica. I totally forgot. Jennifer, I'm sorry. And so my first thought was, I have no makeup on. My hair's not done. And I just scrambled. And then I thought, it's not about me. Amory, God has given you a gift. Go and share it with someone. Share this gift that I've given you. Don't keep it to yourself. So that's I'm here. I'm doing that. I'm doing the best that I can. So I didn't learn the tools very well, but I know that I live the tools. And so I'm going to try to, I don't know, I think there's eight of them maybe, but I use the telephone. Well, prayer and meditation. That's I still do the disciplines that my sponsor gave me. I kind of changed them a little bit. Like, I don't have an assignment. She wants me to work on my assignment every day. So they're basically the same, but they basically follow the tools of the program, I believe. So I pray and meditate every morning. I am honest with my sponsor to the best of my ability, and I do an evening review. And if I hadn't been honest, then I catch it there. I do my 10 steps throughout the day. I make phone calls, so I know that's one of the tools. And I make sure that I call people that I know are still in the food, that are hurting. I pray every day for those that are still in the addiction, in the food, compulsively overeating and not able to get out, because I remember what it was like. So I make phone calls every day. I have a weighed and measured food plan, which I thought I would never do that, because having a weighed and measured food plan was too restrictive. And I just didn't believe it, but I do that now because I got to the point where I was desperate to do anything. So, and I email that to my sponsor along with five gratitudes every night when I do my evening review. So there's my meal plan. I have it from a dietitian, and that was another thing when she wanted me to. Well, this was a while ago, because I had a dietitian for a long time, but. One of my very many sponsors suggested I get a dietitian, and I thought to myself, I've been a lifetime member. I know what to do. This is all going on in my head. Why am I going to pay someone to tell me what I already know? It's just so cocky, so such an ego. But I did. I got a dietitian, and I have a food plan, and I figured out what my foods are. We did a green, yellow, and red sheet. And if anyone's, knew, all the green foods were foods that I have no problem with. Never had a problem putting down a green bean. I know that's on my green list. And red foods that I absolutely know. I know I can't eat one cookie. I just can't. So I know it was on my red list. And then there was this yellow list that I had that, like, sometimes I can have it, sometimes I want more. And so I went over that with my sponsor, and she, we got rid of those 11, those foods, those yellow light foods. So I have a green list and a red list, and I have a food plan that works for me. So there's a food plan. Let me see. There's prayer. There's, oh, writing. So I write every morning. I do a two-way prayer, and I listen to God today. During my quiet time, I either read some inspirational book or a spiritual book from my religion, or sometimes I listen to a meditation. Music, I put music on and I listen quietly. And then I write, I start writing again, and I really believe that it's God writing back to me. So there's my writing. So telephone, writing, prayer, meetings. I get to a meeting every day. So and I share this with my sponsees. So what I do, I suggest to my sponsees, whatever I suggest to my sponsees, I do. So 3 times a week, I go to a meeting that I am sitting in front of the computer and I am attentive. And the other days of the week, I listen to a meeting. Sometimes I listen to, I was just listening. That's what I was doing when I got the phone call. It's like I was listening to this morning's special edition. And so that during those times I can multitask. I allow myself to multitask, and that works for me. It might not work for everybody, but I listen to a meeting every day, and a lot of times more than once. I listen to podcasts. I'm doing stuff around the house, I'm listening. I take phone calls. I sponsor, which is a joy. It's a real joy. I don't know of any of the other tools. I'm not too good with them, but I do service when I'm asked, and I do more service now than I did before. It seems like I'm doing more and more because my d disease gets progressively worse, so I need to get progressively better. So I do whatever service that's asked of me, if it's reasonable. And I think that's it. I know I think there's like 5 minutes left. I know I don't have to go the whole 30 minutes, but I know there was something else I was going to say, and I'm not sure what I was going to say. So maybe that's it. I obviously wasn't prepared, but I just know God will. I ask God for the words, and he speaks to him. He speaks through me. And yeah, more about doing for God, doing his will. I really believe that God wants me, and I think he wants everyone to be of service to others. Whether you're in a 12-step program or you're in a church or you're, it's just God wants us to help neighbors, helping one another. That's God's will, and it certainly is for me. So I think I'll end there. Thank you.
Go
Thank you.
ahead. You can unmute now.
I thank you, Pat. Thanks. I got it now. Yeah, I'm going, I can't push the button. Anyway, Anne-Marie, thank you so much. I know what that's like when you go, oh my gosh, you know what I mean? But thank you for showing up. Thank you for a great talk.